We're holding on Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, 13 lines, the 13th line from the top. The line begins Hakesha. We learned yesterday, we went through a brisa that discussed how B'chlal would know what sounds were supposed to blow on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and how many. Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, 13 lines from the top. We learned yesterday about how many of them, etc. We had, there was a Hekish, and there was a Gzeir Shava, where we combined together the Sukkim about Rosh Hashanah and about Yom Kippur, which both, we're only the one, only by Yom Kippur does it talk about blowing Shofar, and by each of them it uses the word Trua, and we combined all that together to get the proper number of Truas and Tkiyas, and the fact that it has to be done with a Shofar. We did a Hekish, and then we did a Gzeir Shava. Something I want to point out, V'hai Tana Maisa Lo B'Gzeir Shava M'Midbar, the following Tana of the Braisa that we're going to learn now instead learns the same thing from a different Gzeir Shava, from the trumpets that they use in the desert, from the signals that they use in the desert, which we learned in last week's parasha. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Uskatim Trua, you should blow a Trua, which means Tkiyah B'Fnei Atzma or Trua B'Fnei Atzma. It means that Tkiyah is a thing of its own and Trua is a thing of its own. Don't think, in other words, that Tkiyah and Trua are synonymous with saying with Skat and Trua, you should know they're two different sounds. Well, after I'm a Tkiyah B'Fnei Atzma or Trua B'Fnei Atzma, oh yeah, in Ela, maybe not. Tkiyah or Trua Achasi. Maybe Tkiyah and Trua mean the same thing. Tkiyah means to blow. Trua is the name of the note. But how do you know they're actually two different notes? Because then the pasuk continues of a hakil of a kahal, when you're gathering together the kahal, tisku uvalai sariu, you should blow a tkiya and not a trua. It describes over there the different signals. When you blow with one trumpet to tell the whole people to assemble, when you blow with one trumpet to tell the Nesim to assemble, when you blow with two to tell the whole people to assemble. What? No, we're not talking about shnat hakil, but hakil of a kahal, when you have to gather together any time during the 40 years in the desert. That Moshe had to assemble the people for some purpose, to teach them a new din, for example, then the Torah says you should have the Kohenim blow both Chatzotzer, as opposed to if he only wants to gather the Nesiim, then he blows one Chatzotzer. And that either of those is blowing a Tkiyah. Then when it's time to break camp and then go on to the next place, then you blow a Trua. Then you blow a Trua. So then to assemble a Tkiyah and to move a Trua. Now, so the Pasuk makes a point of saying, when you're gathering the people together, Tisku v'loi sariu, you should blow a Tkiyah, not a Trua. Havayim, it's Tkiyah v'fnasma, Trua v'fnasma. It's easy from that Tkiyah and Trua must be two different things. So far we have then learning from...
That's a
Braisa, yeah. Next, Uminayin Shepshuta Lufnea. So we know then that a Trua is something different than a Tkiyah. How do we know that when you're blowing the Trua that you have to have a Tkiyah before it? Talmud Lama was Skatim Trua. Well, that's why the Pasuk says you should blow Skatim, Loshon Tkiyah, you should blow a Trua. So we see so far you have a Skatim, which implies a Tkiyah, and then Trua. And how do we know that you need a pshuta, a long sound after it as well, a tkiya after it as well? Because the prophet continues, a trua they should blow. Again, using the word trua and then tkiya, and then the shortish tkiya. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Rabbi Yechon Mabreka, Amen Tzarech. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Rabbi Yechon Mabreka, Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yechanan, the son of Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yechanan Rebbeka, says, "Ein etzarich, I don't need that way of learning it." Harayu Oimer, because the pasuk says before it even gets to the pasuk of Tru Yisku, earlier in that pasuk it says like this: it says when the first camp is getting ready to move, you should blow a Trua. When the second camp is getting ready to move, Uskatim Trua Shenis. You should blow a second Trua, and then the second camp will move. Now, obviously, it's the second one. It's the second camp, so of course you need a second Trua. Shein Tamad Lema Shenis, so it didn't have to say the word Shenis. Uma Tamad Lema Shenis, so what do we learn from the word Shenis? Zeb Bona Av, this makes a Binyan Av, this makes a general rule that we can use elsewhere in the Torah. Shekol Mokom, Shenema Trua, wherever you have a Trua, Tkiya Shniel, or you need a Tkiya after it. So he agrees. He agrees that you have to learn the Tkiyah before the Trua. He agrees that you have to learn that from Uskatim Trua. But he's saying instead of learning from Trua Yisku that you're going to have a Tkiyah followed by a Trua, you learn it from Trua Shenis.
Yeah, There's no other use of the word shenus.
Of course, there are many examples of the word shenus in the Torah, but
in
this context, no. The expression is skatim trua shenus, v'nosu amachnas achonim temana, and then the camp to the south will move.
It could mean that first you have a tear, then you have two
truas. No, maybe that's why the Tanakhama doesn't like that pasuk. But since it says skatim trua, and then it says shenis, the implication is the skatim, the tkiya, should be shenis after the trua. It should be second after. It should be the trua, and then there's the tkiya.
Ah, that's what.
Yes. Yeah. So therefore, you still have tkiya trua tkiya. Ainly Elabah Midbar. So, okay, so far that only tells us that you need Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah with a Chatzaitzus and a Midbar. But Rosh Hashanah Minayin, how do we know you need the same sequence on Rosh Hashanah? Tamad Lema Truah Truah L'Gzeir Shava. Because yesterday we said there was Gzeir Shava from the word Shvi, from the word B'chodesh HaShvi. We have B'chodesh HaShvi on Rosh Hashanah and B'chodesh HaShvi on Yom Kippur. Here the Gemara is doing a different Gzeir Shava. Different, we've talked about before that different Tanoim and Amiroim had different Kabbalists from their teachers of which words in the Torah are meant for Gzeir Shavas. Or not really which words, but how many of them there are supposed to be. So that's why the rule is, ain't none of done Gzeira Shava Ma'atma. A person can't come up with a Gzeira Shava on their own. If you could, you'd come out with all kinds of ridiculous things. But you have to have a Kabbalah from your Rebbe. But the idea is different Tanoim. And I'm talking about different Kabbalahs of what words are meant for Gzeira Shava, or how many of them there are supposed to be. So the Tana of... going back to their teacher, went back to their teacher, etc. I mean, ultimately, it all goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's like any other Macholikus in Torah. I mean, ultimately, Elam and the Jew Elikim Chaim, but they had different Masoretus that developed. So, the same thing over here. The Tanna that we had from the Braise yesterday had the Kabbalah from his teacher that the word B'chodesh HaShvi are meant for Gzeir Shava. The Tanna of our Braise is saying rather that the Gzeir Shava rather is from the word Trua between Rosh Hashanah and the trumpets in the desert. 70, but there should be another one. The Sholosh Truas Nemer B'Rosh Hashanah continues the price. So now there's three times on Rosh Hashanah alone that it uses the word Truah. Yesterday we talked about that actually there were three times that we said Truah. We said one was in connection with Yom Kippur and two were in connection with Rosh Hashanah. Now we're saying there were actually three.
In connection
with Rosh Hashanah. But actually, the same ones we mentioned yesterday, Shabbos and Zichron Truah, Yom Truah, and Vahavarta Shofar Truah. The third one, really, the Vahavarta Shofar Truah, is not in connection with Rosh Hashanah. It's actually by Yom Kippur.
By Yom Kippur.
But we're saying that there, you know, like we do agree with the Gzeira Shavah from yesterday that you do make a Hekesh or Gzeira Shavah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to say that they're all the same. And then with each trua, there's supposed to be a tkiya, because as we said before, it says a skatim trua, and then either it says trua yisguru, or it says a skatim trua shenis, which teaches us the second tkiya afterwards. So either way. So you have six tkiyas, one each before and after the truas. Now, yesterday we were learning that all of them. But right, the thing is like this. Here's a key difference from what we had yesterday. It's not just a question where we're learning it from, whether we're learning by combining Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or whether we're learning from the Chatzotris. There is actually, the Gemara is going to say now, that according to this Braisa, not all of these skiyas are Midaraisa. Some of them are Midivrei Sofer. Based on the fact that the Gemara is going to say that one of these psukim that says one or two of these psukim that mention trua are actually needed for other purposes. So, Rishesh Tkiyas Nemer B'Rosh Hashanah, Shtayim Medivrei Torah V'Achas Medivrei Sofer. One of these series of Tkiya Trua Tkiya is Min HaTorah, or two rather are Min HaTorah, V'Achas Medivrei Sofer, and one is Midravana. The truth is, it may not mean Medivrei Sofer doesn't necessarily mean Midrabanan. It could mean sometimes Medivrei Sofer, many times, of course, Medivrei Sofer means something purely Midrabanan. Sometimes, especially the Rambam, for example, sometimes uses it in this sense to mean something that's not explicitly written in the Torah, which we have to learn with the Yud Gimel Midrash Torah and the Drashas Behem. Because the fact is, we said yesterday, you don't find three times by Rosh Hashanah that it says the word Truah. We only had two by Rosh Hashanah and one by Yom Kippur. namely, Shabbosin Zichron Truah and Behavar to Shofar Truah are Medivre Torah, because those two are said by Rosh Hashanah. Yom Truah Yilachem the Talmudic of Law, whereas the word Yom Truah, oh no, actually, sorry, one of those is by Rosh Hashanah, one is by Yom Kippur. So those two we use to teach us the number of Truahs. Yom Truah Yilachem the Talmudic of Law. But the words Yom Truah Yilachem we actually use for the Gzeira Shava that we were just mentioning before. We need the word Truah available for Gzeira Shava to make Gzeira Shava with the Chatzotzeris. According to this Tana, you need one of these truas for that purpose. Because the general rule is, we've talked about before, that when you have a Gzeira Shava, one thing is, it's preferable that the words for the Gzeira Shava are mufna, meaning that they don't have any. There's no need for them in the pasuk except that we use them for the Gzeira Shava. We don't need them in order to teach us the actual din the pasuk is telling us, because we have another way of learning. In this case, for example, you have where the Torah already calls Rosh Hashanah Shabbos and Zichron Truah, so you don't need, again, the word Yom Truah, Yelachem. You have the word Truah, therefore Mufna, you have it available for the Gzeira Shava. So therefore, that's why we're saying that two of them are Midaraisa, because you have twice where it says Truah, where we need them in their context. We need one to teach us that on Rosh Hashanah you do a Truah, and one to teach us that on Yom Kippur you do a Truah. And the third one is telling us, take the word Truah from here, from Rosh Hashanah, and make a Gzeira Shava with it from the Chatzotzeris, so that you learn that a Truah always has to be preceded and followed by a Tkiyah. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Rav Yonasan, but Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says the name Rav Yonasan different. He says no, Achas Medivre Torah, Shnei Medivre Sefer. On the contrary, one of the sequences, Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah, is Minat Torah, and two are Midrabanan. How so? V'havarta Shofar Truah is Medivre Torah. The one where it says V'havarta Shofar Truah by Yom Kippur is Medivre Torah. The other two, Shabbat and Zichron Truah, V'yom Truah Yelachem Talmudigubah. The other two, he's saying, I need both of those psukim to teach us various things. One we need for the Gzeira Shava Truah Truah, and the other one we need for another purpose, which the Gemara is going to talk about now. So according to him, only one of them is actually needed. According to him, Minat Torah, you'd only need one sequence of Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah on Yom Kippur. I mean, on Rosh Hashanah. From that one pasuk by Avarta Shofar Truah, which by putting that together, by making Gzeira Shava with Chatzotzeris, we learn that you need a shukta before. Tosfos points out, because he's going to say the one from Yom Truah Yelchem is going to need for a different thing to teach us, and the one for Zichron Truah is also needed. The ones for Shabbos and Zichron Truah and Yom Truah Yelchem are needed for other purposes. They're needed for other lemudim.
So you
cannot say that right. And that is actually, we talked about yesterday, that Tosfos talks about the issue of what sound are you supposed to blow after each of the brachas during Shemoneh Esrei, Malchus, Zichronus, and Shofar. Tosfos says that in new days there was a minug, and I think there are still some Tehillos that do this nowadays, that they blew only Tashrat after Malchus, only one Tashrat after Zichronus, and one Tarat after Shofar. We talked about that yesterday. I think it's the minhag of Yekesh Kehillos. I'm not sure. Not Ashkenaz in general. No, Ashkenaz in general blows Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat after each of them. No, what we talked about yesterday, there's a different thing whether you do also Tkiyas and Shtilos Shmoneh Esrei. That's a different issue.
Right.
We're talking about what you do in the Holchus Shmoneh Esrei, Chazaras Hashtat. What you do after Malchus, what you do after Zichronus, what you do after Shofar, do you do all 10, or do you do only 3 or 4 of them? So Tosfos mentions that there was a minhag going back to the time of the Gaonim that they used to do only Tashrat after Malchus, Tashat after Zichronus, and Tarat after Shofar. And why is that? Tosfos says one reason is based on our Gemara over here. Since according to Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, or Rav Donison rather, you only need one sequence of blasts, you only need one sequence of sound to be Yotzeh min HaTorah, because the Braisa is saying the other two are Medivrei Sofrim. So what it comes to, since we've already been Yotzeh Shofar, according to all the different possibilities, with the Tkiyas Miyoshev before Mosef, then during Mosef itself, they didn't want to be Matriach the people to have to sit through 10 hole, or not to sit, to have to stand, actually, because they have to stand for the ones during Chazaras Hashat, to stand through 10 whole ones, Tashat, Tarat, so instead they shortened it, and at least according to Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, at least you can be Yotzeh in that sense.
And according to the other opinions,
you'd need two that are Daraisa, yeah.
So for
Malchus, you'd need at least two groups, and for the Chronis, you'd need at least two groups, yeah.
And for
And for chauffeurs, you'd need at least, yeah. Right. That would be six, right. And again, like I say, I mean, yeah, I don't know of any such minhag. Either the minhag is to do three or four, tashrat or tashat or tarat, or there is, our minhag is to do all three of them, tashrat, tashat, tarat, after each of the three brachas. The Beis Yosef also mentions an interesting minhag to blow three times tashrat after Malchus, three times tashat after the Zechronis, and three times tarat after the Zechronis, after shofar. So in other words, each time you're doing three of each kind. Why is that? They say maybe three of tashrat, but instead of we do each time after each one of the brachas, tashrat, tashat, tarat. The Beis Yosef thing would be to do tashrat, 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 after Malchus, tashat, 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 after the Zechronis, tarat, 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 after shofar. Why is that? That seems to be Alpi Kabbalah. Anyway.
You would be Yotze for the formulation.
We'll talk about how whether you're Yotze with one formulation or the other. We'll get to that soon when we talk about Rav Avohu. Next, we'll get to that in a few lines. First, we have to see, what do you mean Ma'ila Tamlo Dei Hoba? What do you mean that the word Yom Teruah Yilachem or the word Shabbat and Zichron Teruah and Yom Teruah Yilachem are needed for? So if we say one of them is L'tamlo Dei Hoba, we said it means for the Gzeirah Shavah. According to Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, who says one of them is needed for the Gzeirah Shavah, and the other one he also says is L'tamlo Dei Hoba, and therefore it's not available to teach us the number. Therefore, according to him, only one set is Midaraisa. What's the L'tamlo Dei Hoba? What is the word Yom Teruah Yilachem coming to teach us? He uses it to teach us that you can only blow Shavah by day, not by night. The Ida. So the Idach, what would the other Tana say? No, we didn't have it yet. We talked about it, that if you blow shofar before Alos HaShachar and continue after Alos HaShachar, you're not Yotze. But we didn't say where the source for that is, that Tkiyas Shofar is only by day. The Idach, so the other Tana would say, Vayom V'lo B'layla Manole, where does he learn Vayom V'lo B'layla? He learns it from the word b'yom hakipurim, on the day of Yom Kippur. Nu, the Gemara asks, e b'yom hakipurim yalef. So if he's learning from Yom Kippur anyway, nigma nami minei l'pshuta l'fanel pshuta l'achareya. Well, then why does he need the whole Gzeirah Shavah from the Chatzotzus in the Midbar? Let him just learn like the original braisa that we had yesterday. Let him just learn the whole Hekesh and the whole Gzeirah Shavah from Yom Kippur, and we don't even need the Chatzotzus. Then we don't need the word trua at all. Then we have two times the word trua available. Or we have all, according to the Tanakh of the Braisa, we have all three of them available to teach us that you need all three of them need to be Midaraisa.
If
you're learning from Yom Kippur anyway. The answer is, Sahavauta Taviru Loi Mashmalu, because the first Tana of our Braisa now does not hold the word Bahavauta and Taviru comes to teach us about a Tchiyah. Ela Mai Darshi Behu, so what do they use these words for? V'havarta, they use to Rav Masna. They use the word v'havarta to teach us Rav Masna. D'omar Rav Masna said, we had on Yom Tov, v'havarta derech havarata. That the word v'havarta means that you have to blow the shofar the way that it's carried on the head of the animal. V'havarta means you should pass through. So like an animal passes around, walks around with the horn on its head, is the way the horn has to be when you're blowing it, which means, we talked about that, it means you can't turn it inside out, it means that you can't widen the narrow end and broaden the narrow end, it means you can't blow into the wide end, etc., because none of that would be derech havarot, say? And taviru, d'kam rachmona, na'av rebiyad, and the word taviru, the Tana of the Braisa would say the word Taviru doesn't mean a long shofar blast. It means carry it around by hand. Who says it means anything about blowing? Maybe it means the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur is carry around a shofar around the country.
The
Havarta means that it has to be the same shape and the same inside out as it was when it was on the head of the animal. And Taviru might just mean, Taviru doesn't necessarily mean that you have to blow anything. Taviru could just mean you have to carry it around. Or Tosfos brings a different explanation. Na'av Rebiyad means they would say that Taviru means that when you're blowing the shofar, it has to actually be, you have to hold it in your hand. You can't be putting the shofar on the table, for example, and then leaning down and blowing into it.
Or even having some kind of
yeah, putting like a tripod or something on it, yeah.
I'm wondering also if like static arms would work for doing
maybe. I mean, the fact of the matter is the halakha is not like this anyway. But yeah. the Ida.
So you read the pasuk,
make sure when you're using the shofar for the truah that it is in the same shape as it was when it came off the head of the animal. You should walk around with the shofar in all your land. Doesn't say anything about blowing tkiyas. So therefore, you can't learn tkiyas from there. Necessarily, the Tanna of the Braisa is saying, you have to learn tkiyas. You have to learn the concept of tkiyas from somewhere else, namely where? From the Chatzotzes, where it actually uses the word reskatim. The idach. So what would Rabbi Yonasan answer to that? He would say that Rav Masna, we learn what Rav Masna says, that the shofar has to be in the same shape, midashandi b'dibure, because the Torah used a different word. The very fact that he used the word v'havarta, yes, it means that it needs to be the same shape. But you can also learn from it that you have a tkiya as well. It's true. If the Torah had only said tisku, you wouldn't know Ramasna's din. The fact that it says v'havarta, we learn both things from it. You can learn v'havarta means a straight sound, like one that passes through. And it also means that if it was just that, the Torah would have said tisku. The fact that it says v'havarta also teaches us Ramasna's din, that the shofar has to be in the right shape. And
it teaches us straight,
which is the tkiya, and that has to be in the right shape. Ramasna din. V'havarta and taviru b'yad l'mosas amrit, and you cannot say Rabbi Yonasan says that taviru means you should pass it around by hand, you should walk around with it in your hand. D'goma avara mimosha, because in that case we have another gzeira shava that we can make. We can make the gzeira shava of the word the root of the word taviru. From the story with Moshe, with the Mishkan. It says by the Mishkan over there, when everybody had brought generous donations to the Mishkan. The people come to Moshe and say, we have too much stuff. And by Yitzav Moshe, v'yaviru koil b'machna. Moshe commanded, and they passed through a sound, an announcement in the machna that everybody should stop bringing stuff. So malahalan b'koil, afkan b'koil. So just like over there, v'yaviru, it says there the word koil. It means that it wasn't just walking around, it means it was actually making a public announcement. The same thing over here. Taviru has to mean making a sound. So therefore, yes. Instead of carrying it. So therefore, yes. V'havarta and taviru, Rabbi Yonasan says, do mean. Does mean that you have to blow a tkiel upon air with tkiel acharel, or the tana of the original Braisa says it that way. You can't say that it means just walking around with it, and you can't say it's only Ramasna's din.
Because you can find it
because you have a Xeder Shabbos from another
you
place,
have to
right?
Say
yeah.
That it goes.
Yeah. That means blowing a tkiya. And once you have a tkiya from that, then you don't need the chatzotzos in the desert for that anymore.
Vehikil.
What?
Which
pasuk
is the chatzotzos?
Or the question is, well, high tana the ma'aselam in midbar. So now let's go back to the braisa that we just had. If we're learning it from the midbar, this last braisa that we said. No, wait. Then you have a question according to him. Fine. He learns out from there that you have to have a tkiya before and after the trua. We said according to him only one or two of the sequences of tkiya trua tkiya amidaraisa. But we have one basic problem. In the midbar there were supposed to blow with chatzotzos. Maybe it means on Rosh Hashanah you should be blowing with chatzotzos with trumpets also. Where do we see from that that it never says, the Torah never used the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah. By the midbar, it's talking about chatzotzos, about the silver trumpet. So where would you know, according to that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to be blowing with shofar? Mela, if you learn it from Yom Kippur, it says there was shofar truah. But if you're learning it from the midbar, where do you have that detail? The answer is Talmud Lomar, because we learn from that we know from Pasuk and Tillim. Tikkubot, which we've had a few times.
So what did they do before Tillim?
So then they would say, well, you can't give a term, give a couple of loyal finin anyway. The general rule is we can't derive things between Chumash and Nach. But what we're saying is once we have the Pasuk and Tillim shows us how to apply the Gzeira Shavah. Even the Tanner in the Braisa who learned from the Chatzotzos did agree that we have to learn from Yom Kippur as well, because otherwise he doesn't have his three times Teruah. It only says twice Teruah by Rosh Hashanah and once by Yom Kippur. So necessarily he has to agree with that Gzeira Shavah also. The Pasuk in Tehillim clarifies that you also use the Gzeira Shava to say that you do like Yom Kippur, where it says Shofar, and not like the Midbar, where it says Chatzotzer.
But again, if you didn't have...
If you didn't have the Pasuk in Tehillim, so the Gemara mentions in a few places, until a certain Pasuk was written, they knew it for Kabbalah. After that, the Pasuk is written. Okay. The Gemara mentions that in a few places about dinim, that Yechezkel says, for example, there's certain dinim that's the end. So the pasuk says, "Tikku b'chodesh shofar, blow in the shofar in the new month, v'kesel yom chageinu, on the keseh of the day of our festival." Izo chag shachodesh miskasim, v'kesel is in loshon kisui. Which month is it? We've had this a few times already. Which month is it? Which yomtiv is it that the chodesh is covered up? Which the simple meaning is again is that the moon is not visible. And according to Tosfos, we had earlier in the Masechta that it means that you don't mention it's a yomtiv when you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in davening. We only mention it briefly. The Levad Olos Chodesh, but we don't explicitly. Yeah, that would have to be Rosh Hashanah. Hevem is Rosh Hashanah. Vika Amar Rachman a Shofar, and the pasuk says Tikku b'chodesh Shofar. So there you go. That's what it means, a Shofar.
So that's the only pasuk in the Torah, the whole Torah, that connects Rosh Hashanah to the Shofar.
Explicitly, right. I mean, before we have the Gzeira Shofar, but yeah, right. Now we learned yesterday that the Mishnah had implied that a trua consists of what we think of as a trua, short sounds, and a braisa, which we said right after the Gemara, right after the Mishnah yesterday, had implied that a trua actually consists of what we call shvarim, three medium-sized sounds, dur, dur, dur. So, asking Rav Avohu b'Kesuri, Rav Avohu made the following takana in Kesuri, where he was the Rosh Hashiva. The Mishnah said it's Yibamas. The Mishnah said it's the Braisa had implied that it's Shvarim.
Right.
So now, asking Rav Avohu b'Kesuri, Rav Avohu made the following takana in Kesuri, that you blow Tkiyah, Shlosha Shvarim, Trua, Tkiyah. You blow Tashrat, in other words. You do both Shvarim and Trua. You can ask why, Manafshach. Either way, if he holds that a trua is wailing, then he should just be doing tkiya trua tkiya. The ganuchi ganach, if he thinks like the braisa that a tkiya is what we call shvarim, dur dur dur, like moaning, la'evit tkiya. Then he should do tkiya shvarim tkiya. Why is he doing both? Why is he doing tkiya shvarim trua tkiya? The answer is mesapkalei, because he had a suffix, iganuchi gonach iyolula yalil, whether a trua consists of moaning or wailing, so therefore he did both. However, wait, maskifar avirah, so Rav Avirah asks on that, how does that work? The duma yolula yava, maybe a trua is really supposed to be wailing, maybe it's only supposed to be the short sound. Yeah. The kamastik shlosha shvarim ben trua latkiya, and then you have a problem, the three shvarim are being a heftik. If you blow tkiya, then you blow three shvarim. The three shvarim don't belong to the trua now. Yeah. They're an interruption. Then you have in the trua. Okay, but the tkiya is supposed to be before the trua. So how can you do that? The answer is dahavah tkiya trua tkiya. You're right. According to Rav Avohu, you would actually have to afterwards do a tkiya trua tkiya as well. Now how b'chol? So what's
the?
So you do tashrat and then you do tarat. So far we have. Yeah. Now, Mephoshim talk about, there's a lot of different Mephoshim that talk about, why is it a problem if there's a heftik? We're going to learn on Omid Beis that even if you hear the different sounds of the shofar at different times throughout the day, you're yotze. So what's the problem if there's a heftik? So there's a lot of different answers, there's a lot of different opinions. Can you guys dive in my room over there because we're learning over here? So what's the problem with a heftik? So what if you have shvarim in between? So there's a lot of different answers. Different rishonim have different understandings. Among them are, we're saying that you're yotze, but that's only b'dievet. L'chatchila, you shouldn't have a break. So how is Rav Avohu making a takana that l'chatchila you do over there shvarim in the middle before the trua? The question was, so what if you have a hefsik? So what if the shvarim is a hefsik? You still did tkiya trua tkiya. We're going to say on Amud Beis that if you heard a tkiya at 7 o'clock and a trua at 8 o'clock and another tkiya at 9 o'clock, you yotze. So what's the problem? So one answer is that that's a b'dievet. We're talking here l'chatchila. Another answer is that that's only if you're mafsik in the middle with talking or whatever. But if you're mafsik with another sound of the shofar or with another sound that you're meaning to be using as part of being yotze, then it's no good. So here, if we're saying that a truah truly might be what we call a truah, and then you're putting in a shvarim over there, why are you putting in the shvarim? Because you're not sure. Well, then it is a hefsek, because it's another shofar sound that doesn't belong there at that point. Anyway,
it's arguable both ways.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's a number of different opinions in Rishonim about this.
Right. You could say, you need a certain amount, regardless of whether you add some others or you don't.
That's the point. In other words, if you say that just as long as you have tkiyah through a tkiyah, it doesn't matter what sounds you have in between, then it would be like tchila versus b'dieved. If you say that it matters, that if you have wrong sounds in between, you're taking not yotze, then it would be hefsek. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So far, fine. We have tashrat and then tarat. Okay, maski for Ravina. So Ravina asks the other way around. V'tumah genuch yava. Maybe a truah really consists of groaning sounds, what we call shvarim. V'kom maskeh truah ben shvarim l'tkiyah. And then you have the opposite problem. When you do tashrat, again, you're doing tkiyah, shvarim, which is the real truah, but then you're putting in the t-t-t-t-t-t, which doesn't belong there. And you have a hefsek between that and the second tkiyah. And again, the same answer, tahadu avet tashat. In that case, what you do is you do tashat as well, and that way you're covered for that. We have only shvarim without truah. The question is, El Rabbo, my ask is, so what was Rabbo's takana then? If you hold that it's groaning, that it's shvarim, then you do it. If you hold that it's crying, then you're doing that. So why do you need tashrat, in other words? Now that we've established you need tashrat and tarat, you need one or the other, why do you need both? The answer is because he has a third suffix. Misapkele duma gonach v'yalil. He has a suffix, maybe trua consists of both, moaning and wailing. But then it would be shvarim and truah. The question is, yachi levim nami yipcha, then you should do it the other way around also. You should have to do tkiya truah shlosh shvarim tkiya. Dilma yalo v'gonach. You should say the same thing then. Then you need to do tarshat. You should have to do a truah before shvarim as well. The answer is no. Stama de milsa as a normal thing. Ki mitra v'inish milsa, when something bad happens to a person, v'resha gonach v'hadar yalo. First he moans, long groans, and then he starts wailing. So therefore, so you have shvarim and then truah. There's no reason to have truah followed by shvarim. Now, there's a famous thing that Mefarshim talk about. Before Rav Abou came along, he's saying you do it all three ways, because you have a suffix. So what? Before that, some people weren't yotze shofar. So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam says the reason why there was a suffix is because by Rabbi Bo's times, it was many years, so it was a long time since Matan Torah, there had been gullison, there had been persecutions and whatever. They had lost the tradition. They weren't, he takes the Gemara here at face value. They literally weren't sure. So Rabbi Bo made this takana that you do it all three ways in order to cover all your bases. Rabbi Haigoin now has a completely different explanation. Rabbi Haigoin says no, it's impossible. I mean, everybody here was shofar every year on Rosh Hashanah. How is it possible, the length of the galus, whatever, how do you forget what shofar sounds like? He says that no. All three ways are okay, min haTorah. All the Torah is saying, Rabbi Haigoin says, is you have to have the tekiyah, which is a long sound, you have to have a truah, which is some kind of crying sound. We said yesterday, yavava, some kind of crying sound. Now, in some places, they think of a crying sound as being moaning. In some places, they think of a crying sound as crying sound as being wailing. And in some places, both. So some Jews would do it one way, some Jews would do it another way, some would do it a third way, and all of them are yotze. Rav Abou decided, though, you don't want that. It looks like people have different Torahs. It looks like if you go to one shul and you hear them blowing tashrat only, and you go to another shul and hear them blowing tashat only, it sounds like they have two different Torahs. So therefore, he made this takana that everybody should be doing the same thing.
Rabbi Abou
made this takana that everybody should be doing the same thing. Everybody should be doing all three ways in order that it shows that everybody is in order that it shows the unity of the Jewish people.
When did he
live? Rabbi Abou lived in the times. I mean, he was one of the Amoraim. Obviously, he lived in the 300s.
Some of the differences in even Orthodox Judaism today, like a little bit more, because there's some big.
So the Rebbe once talked about in a sicha that, yeah, I mean, there's lots of different places where we have different minhagim. Why are we so worried about a difference in minhagim here? And the Rebbe said, because this, and also he talked about the minhag of beating the aravos, specifically have to do with the yichida shebenefesh. They have to do with the yichida, the one unique point of the neshama. And therefore, with these mitzvahs, with shofar, more than most other mitzvahs, we want to make sure that everybody is uniform.
Shofar and
arava. Yeah. He talks about it over there, that they both have to do with it. They're both one on Rosh Hashanah, one on Yom Kippur, one on Anei Shana Rabba. They both have to do with Yichidah. Not specifically, no. I guess not. So this is how we get that even though we're saying that Minat Torah, you only have to hear 9 sounds, we have the Tekiyas we do before Musaf, the Tekiyas Miyoshev, we end up with 30. 3 times Tashrat, 3 times Tashat, 3 times Tarat, to cover all our bases. Mishnah said, talk about a shino moshach v'shniya kishtayim. The Mishnah had brought up a case where you blew the first Tekiyah, then you did the Trua, whatever the Trua is defined as, according to these different possibilities. Then you blew a tekiyah twice as long as a normal tekiyah, intending for it to count as the last one of the first group and the first one of the second group. And we say it doesn't count for both. And according to some rishonim, it doesn't even count for either one. So in this connection, Amar Rav Yechanan, Shama Tesh Tekiyas Tesha Shoyes Bayayim Yotza. If you hear the 9 different sounds of the shofar at 9 different hours of the day, you're yotza. So you hear the first key at 7 o'clock in the morning, the true at 8, the next key at 9, and so forth, spread throughout the day like that. You're yotze. Again, according to some rishonim, only if you don't have other shofar sound in the middle.
You hear?
If you hear the tekiyah and then an hour later you hear the true, you're yotze, b'dyeved at least.
As long as you don't hear anything.
As long as you don't, according to some rishonim, as long as you don't hear other shofar sounds in the middle, yeah. Taninami, Hachi, we learn similarly in Braisa. Shama Tesha Tekiyas and Tesha Shoyes Bayayim Yotze. If you hear 9 Tekiyas at 9 different hours during the day, you Yotze. However, Mites Ne'odim Ke'echad Lo Yotze. If you hear it from 9 different people at once, then you're not Yotze. If you have 9 people standing there with shofars, one's blowing a Tekiyah, one's blowing a Trua, one's blowing a Tekiyah, etc., and they're all together at once, then you're not Yotze. Why is that? Rashi, you're not Yotze because... So Rashi discusses this a bit. Rashi says that, I mean, on the face of it, the reason would be because you can't hear 2 things at once. You can't hear the Tekiyah and the Trua and the Tekiyah and so forth at the same time. But Rashi says, why? What's the problem? We learned about a week ago during Yom Tov, that you can indeed, if 2 different people are doing things at the same time, you can hear them individually. You pay attention because shofar is chaviv, it's something precious to you because it doesn't happen all the time, and therefore you pay attention and you make sure to distinguish all of them. So what would be the problem?
When one person does it?
No, that's when we said not when one person does it. If you hear 2 different sounds from one person, you can't focus on both of them. That's why we said Zachar v'Shamar, only the Eivishter could do that. But we're saying here you have 9 different people all standing there holding shofars. One's blowing a tekiyah, one's blowing a trua, one's blowing a tekiyah, etc., all at once. So Rashi says, in fact, you should be yotze with that. And in fact, Rashi says, therefore, the Girsa and the Gemara over here should be that you are yotze. If you hear all 9 of them at once.
9 of them at once?
Yeah.
During the same time?
At the same time, that's what we're saying. So Rashi is saying you can, because you'll be able to pick out the Tekiyah and the Trua and the Tekiyah and so forth, because it's Chaviv, because you're paying attention to it. Tosfos says, fine, that may not be the issue, but the issue is something else. We said that you have to have a Tekiyah before the Trua,
right,
and a Trua before the Tekiyah. If they're all at once, then they're not before.
Right.
So therefore Tosfos says, stick with the Girsa we have in the Gemara. You're not Yotze, not because Trei Koli Lo Mishtami, not because you can't hear 2 different sounds at once, but because you don't have it in the proper sequential order. You don't have first Tekiyah, then Trua, then Tekiyah.
Right, no, that I understand.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is how to differentiate at the same time between and Trua and Shari.
That's what we're saying. Because it's chaviv. Because it's something that's precious to you. Because it's something important to you. So you make sure to pay attention, and you manage to distinguish them. Meforshim say that Rashi might answer Tosfos' objection by saying the Torah wants you to have the Tekiyah before. The Torah doesn't care if you have the Tekiyah before the Trua. The Torah just cares. You can't have the Tekiyah after the Trua. You can't do Trua and then Tekiyah, let's say. But if you do them at the same time, fine. As long as not in the out of sequence, then you're fine.
In other words, Trua before.
Right. That would definitely be no good.
But
Tekiyah and Trua at the same time, according to Rashi, might well be okay. Yeah. Tekiyah mizeh with Trua. The halacha is like Tosfos. The halacha is like Tosfos' explanation, like our view, so that it has to be sequential. Yeah. Tzkiya Mizeh or Tzurah Mizeh. So if you hear a Tzkiya from one person and a Tzurah from another one, Yotza, then you Yotza V'afilu B'Sirugin, even if there's breaks in the middle, V'afilu Kolayim Kula, and even if it's all day long, again, like we said, you do a Tzkiya at 1 hour and a Tzurah the next hour and so forth, you are Yotza. The Gemara asked, "Me, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Hachi, did Rabbi Yechonon really say that?" Well, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehoi Tzadok, the halal of a Megillah, when it comes to halal and when it comes to Megillah, im shahak de ligmeres kula, if you stop in the middle long enough that it would be enough time to finish the whole thing from beginning to end, chozel rosh, then you have to go back to the beginning. And evidently, it's not just halal and Megillah, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, it also applies to Kriyashma, for example. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold that if you have a break long enough in the middle of a mitzvah, that you could have finished the whole thing, and you have to start all over. So by the same token, if you have it takes a lot less than an hour to blow 9 sounds, if you break for an hour, how could Rabbi Yochanan say you're Yotze? According to him, you should have to start all over.
How long would you, the maximum time?
The maximum time would have to be very short. It would have to be the time it takes to blow 9 of them. The answer is like Kasha Hadidei Hadirabe. That's not a problem because one is talking about Rabbi Yochanan's own opinion. What we said that when Rabbi Yochanan said that if you hear the 9 tekiyas at 9 different hours of the day, that you're Yotze, that's his own opinion. Hadirabe, this that we said that by Halal and Megillah you have to start all over, is his Rebbe's opinion. He's quoting it from Rabbi Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok. So fine, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok says that. Rabbi Yochanan argues with that.
What did he base his opinion on about you?
Rav Shimon ben Yehi Tzadok.
Yeah.
I don't know, but preposterous because if you're breaking that long in the middle of it, you can't be mitzaref it. You can't combine the two halves of it together. So you might have to be detailed. Are you telling me that Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't hold of this concept? That if you have a break in the middle, that it counts and you don't have to start all over. Rabbi Yochanan himself seems to disagree with that. Rabbi Yochanan himself seems to say you have to start all over. Because Rabbi Bo one time was walking, following behind Rabbi Yochanan, and he's saying Krishma as he's walking. When he came to a dirty alley that had urine or soy or whatever in it, ishtik, then he was quiet. He didn't say anything. And after they passed, Amalei, he asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'u Ligmer, am I allowed to finish Shema at this point? I stopped in the middle. Am I allowed to finish or do I have to start all over? Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan tells him, Im shahisik de ligmer kula, if you stopped long enough that you could have said the whole Shema, Chazor l'Rosh, then you have to go back to the beginning. So we see Rabbi Yochanan does hold if you break long enough in the middle of a mitzvah, then you have to start all over. So what are you telling me that if you hear the 9 tekiyas at 9 different hours, you're Yotze?
But that was because it was b'dievet.
Ah, one second. That's the thing. Hachi Kamalei, what Rabbi Yochanan is telling him is like this. Lididi lo severely. According to me, I don't hold that bechlau you had to stop. Lididi means according to me. Lo severely, I don't hold that you had to stop in the first place. Because we learned in Brachas that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you're walking through the streets and there's filth over there while you're saying Shema, you don't have to stop. You just have to cover your mouth. So that the words of Torah are not going out into a filthy area. But you don't have to stop, actually. So according to me, bechlau didn't have to stop. But according to you, you seem to be disagreeing with both things. Number one, that you stopped when I hold you don't. Number two, you seem to be disagreeing. You seem to think that if you stopped long enough that you could have finished, that you have to start over. Well, then according to you, so fine, if you stopped long enough to finish the whole thing, then according to your own opinion, you'll have to start all over. According to my opinion, number one, you didn't have to stop. And number two, even if you did stop, you never have to start over. That's how Rashi means it. There are other Rishonim who learn it differently. There are other Rishonim who make a distinction, this is the distinction that you were saying, between whether you stopped just voluntarily, you could have continued, but you just chose to stop, versus you stopped because you couldn't, because of an onus, because you were in a position where you're not able to continue. So according to them, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling Rabbi Bo. He's telling him, according to me, you didn't have to stop in the first place because I hold you allowed to say Shema there. So according to me, there's no reason to start over again because you stopped. It was a purely voluntary thing. It would be like saying one parsha of Shema and then just taking a break for a few minutes. That's not a problem. But according to you, that it was an onus, that you stopped because of an onus, because even if you wanted to, you couldn't continue, well, then Chazor l'Rosh, then you have to go back to the beginning. And Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions: the opinion that no matter what you don't have to start all over, and the opinion that if it was because of an onus, then you do have to start over. And Shulchan Aruch says preferably you should go according to the second opinion. if it was a matter of oinus, then you have to start all over. So if for example you just said some, you said part of Shema, let's say, or part of Howl or whatever, and then you just took a break because, you know, for no specific reason, then you don't have to start all over. You can finish where you broke off. But if you broke off, for example, you had to go to the bathroom or something like that, then yes, if it was long enough that you could have said the whole Shema during that time, then you have to start all over.
Regarding the smell, I think you have to stop.
Yes, the halacha is that in Mivar Tamitun office, you actually have to stop. Yeah.
You have to stop. Yeah. Whether it's kashma or it's blowing the shofar or it's what?
Well, blowing the shofar, I don't know if blowing the shofar is the same thing. But kriyashma, saying words of Torah, yeah. So therefore, applying that to this thing about the teisha tkiyas, then Rabbi Yochanan would say, if you heard the teisha tkiyas at different times of the day, it wasn't that there was any onus involved. It wasn't that there was any onus. You just chose to hear them at different times. So fine, you are yotze. You don't have to start all over.
Only in onus.
Yeah. Right.
You think the other way around.
Right.
Everybody agrees on that.
Well, so no, actually. So Tosfos talks about the possibility that actually, if we say like Rav Abo, which Tosfos wants to say that maybe the halacha is indeed like Rav Abo, that any kind of hefsek, you have to start all over. Well, then that would mean that between the various tkiyas of one set of tkiyas through a tkiyah, or tkiyah shvarim through a tkiyah, whatever, you should hardly stop at all. You should don't do too long between them, because you don't want between one and the next long enough to do a whole sequence. And even between one sequence and the next, between one set of tashrat and the next one, let's say, you should also not break too much, and not long enough for one whole tefillah. We in practice don't do like that, because, for example, I mean, obviously the ones that are doing Shemoneh Esrei, you have the whole bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which takes some time. But even the tefillahs miyoshev, we do break between one group and the next a little bit.
That's very short.
Yeah, but when it says v'yisvada b'lachash there in the city, it's not so short. It's, you know, it's long enough that you could have blown a comfortable tkiya or tefillah during that time. Between one group, between, let's say, all of Tashrat and all of and the beginning of Tashrat.
Probably.
Yeah, you have a bit of a break there, like 15 or 30 seconds.
More than
it, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Incidentally, by the way, you know, when we were talking before about shvarim versus teruah, based on that Gemara, there's different opinions among Rishonim. Are the Shvarim and Teruah, when you're doing Tashrat, are the Shvarim and Teruah supposed to be blown in one breath? Because after all, I mean, we're saying it's meant to be one whole thing of Teruah, or are they meant to be in two breaths? Because if we're saying it's like a person moaning and then wailing, a person doesn't moan and wail all in one breath. There are different opinions about that in Rishonim. And for that reason, actually, the minug in many places, and this is also our minug, is that we make a difference in that regard between the Tkiyas Miyoshev and the Tkiyas Mi'omud. The Tkiyas Miyoshev, the first ones before Mosef, we blow Shvarim Teruah in one breath. The ones in Mosef, since already we've been yotze to the basic mitzvah anyway, then we do them in two breaths. First Shvarim, meaning all in one breath without taking a breath and without breathing in.
Tashrat and Tarat?
No, we're talking about the Shvarim and Teruah of Tashrat.
The Shvarim and Teruah, that's
yeah. One breath. Yeah, but only in the Tkiyas Miyoshev, only in the ones before Mosef. We don't do them in one breath in the Tkiyas moment.
You cannot do it in
You're not, you can't, but you don't. We do it as kind of a compromise between these different opinions of the Rishonim. Rishonim also talk about, by the way, another interesting question. What about if you blow the whole Tashrat, let's say, in one breath? You blow a Tkiyah and then immediately, without taking a breath in, you start in with the Shvarim. Are you yotze with that? Some say yes, some say not. Because the not would be because they are supposed to be three different sounds. And if you do them all in one breath, it's not three different sounds. You're doing them as one continuous sound, basically. Anyway. Tana Rabbanan. Tkiyas ain't ma'akvis zuasu. The tkiyas are not ma'ak of each other. And brachas ain't ma'akvis zuasu. And the brachas are not ma'ak of each other. Now, which tkiyas and which brachas are we talking about? Rashi says it means the tkiyas and the brachas other times during the year. For example, on Tanesim, we're going to learn in Masechta Tainis that on Tanesim they would have six extra brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, and they would blow shofar after each one of them. Those tkiyas and those brachas are not the tkiyas are not ma'ak of each other, and the brachas are not ma'ak of each other. Meaning, if you only do some of the tkiyas, you're still yotze. If you only do some of the six brachas, you're still yotze. But it's Anatinus, let's say. But Tekiyas, the Brachas, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Ma'akvus. But the Tekiyas and the Brachas of Yom Kippur, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are Ma'akvus. Meaning you must have, according to Rav, this is how Rashi explains it, you must have the Tekiyas and the Brachas. If you only do the Tekiyas without the Brachas of Shemana Esrei, or the Brachas of Shemana Esrei without the Tekiyas, you're not Yotze. You need both. However, Tosfos argues with that. Tosfos and also the Rambam argue with that because they say, first of all, based on our Mishnah, we had an our Mishnah, for example, that if you daven Musaf and only then did you get a shofar, then we say you blow a shofar afterwards. So we see you daven Musaf not knowing if you're going to have a shofar. We're going to talk about certain cases where you have different cities. In one of them, they know how to daven Musaf, and in the other one, they have a shofar. So how can Rashi say that they're ma'akiv each other on Rosh Hashanah? So therefore they explain that what the Gemara means is that the three sets of tekiyas are ma'ak of each other. Meaning on Rosh Hashanah you have to do tekiyas after you have to do the nine tekiyas that we talked about before, three times tarat. If you only do some of them, then you're not yotze. Or if you only do after Malchius and not after Zechronis and Shofaris, let's say, then you're not Yotze. Similarly with the Brachas. If you only do Malchius, let's say, and not Zechronis and Shofaris, you wouldn't be Yotze. You have to say all three Brachas. The Rebbe has an interesting sicha, one of his siyumim on Masechta Rosh Hashanah, where he discusses this whole issue. And the Rebbe explains, and part of the explanation is based on the next piece of Gemara, when the Gemara says the interdependence of Malchius, Zechronis, and Shofaris. When the Gemara says that you have Malchius that you should crown Hashem, Zechronis, that Hashem should remember us for good, or Bameh b'shofar, does that mean that how do we accomplish Malchius and Zechronis by blowing the shofar, or does it mean by saying the psukim of shofar? Rashi holds that it means by blowing the shofar. So therefore, Malchius, Zechronis, and shofar, and blowing the shofar, are interdependent. You can't have one without the other. As opposed to Tosfos would say that Bameh b'shofar means with the psukim of shofar. So the shofar blowing itself is a whole nother thing.
So according to Rashi,
if you say Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofaris, but without blowing the shofar, you haven't accomplished the mitzvah.
You have to say the brachas with the shofar.
Yes. Or at least you have to say the brachas and then blow the shofar, like we said in our Mishnah. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you do have to have both, yeah.
Right. And according to Tosfos.
According to Tosfos, as long as he said all three brachas, you go to that mitzvah. As long as he did the nine sounds of the shofar, you go to the mitzvah of shofar.
Miyoshav, you mean?
Miyoshav, Ma'umad, whatever. The point, the nine basic sounds that you have to hear in a Torah. My time, why are they ma'akiv? Amar Rabba, because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibishter says, Imru v'fonei b'rashana malchiz z'chonis v'shofaris. Why? Malchiz kadesh tam l'chuni aleicha, Malchiz, so you crown me as king over you. Z'chonis kadesh yovel l'fonei z'chonecham l'tovah, z'chonis in order that your remembrance comes before me for good. Or bameh b'shofar. And how does that happen? With shofar. So again, according to Rashi, it would come out that bameh b'shofar means with the sound of the shofar, and therefore the sound of the shofar has to be together with the brachas. And according to Tosfos, and the Rambam would mean bameh b'shofar, how? With the psukim of shofar. And therefore we say the psukim of shofar. It's nothing to do with the blowing of shofar, per se.
Right, so what does the blowing of the shofar mean in Tosfos?
It means something else. I mean, it has many meanings. Obviously, if you're saying the psukim of the shofar, you are blowing the shofar as well. But still, according to Tosfos, those are two separate. They're two separate. Nothing has nothing to do. The Mishnah had said that you have to say that after you're supposed to do them together. But they are two different mitzvahs, according to Tosfos. One is not ma'ak of the other, meaning if you only have one, you do just that one and you don't do the other one. As opposed to according to Rashi, that you're naya. Yeah. The Rebbe also points out, by the way, in that sicha, an interesting thing. There's two famous mishalim of why that are brought in Sifrei Chassidus of why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. One is a mashal from the Baal Shem Tov of a prince who was sent away from his father's house, and eventually, he even forgot the language of the palace. And now, when he wants to come back to his father, all he can do is scream out with a gishrei, and his father hears his voice and recognizes his son's voice. And then there's a mashal from Reb Levi about a guy who once used his trumpet to save the king when the king was lost in the forest. And then many years later, he's on trial for his life, and he blows his trumpet, and the king remembers how he saved him all those years before and pardons him. So the Rebbe explains those two things relate to Malchus and Zechronis respectively. The Alter Rebbe's marshal, the Baal Shem Tov's marshal about the lost prince relates to Malchus, that we're acknowledging Hashem as our king, like the son is coming back and wanting to reconnect with his father, the king. The oblivious marshal with the shepherd and the king represents the goodness that Hashem should remember the good that we did, the fact that we accepted the Torah, the other good things that we did. As that Hashem should remember ours, yeah. Mishnah said, Misha Berach Vachkach Netzmana Lo Shofer, that if a person made the brachos of Shemana Esrei, and then he got a hold of a shofer, Takeo Midrei V'Takeo, then he does the nine sounds of the shofer after davening instead of doing it. So the Gemara points out, time of the Lehavale Shofer Me'ikra. So that was, why does he have to do it that way? Because he didn't have a shofer to begin with. Lehavale Shofer Me'ikra, but if he had a shofer to begin with, the proper thing to do, Ki Shamalahu, I say the brachos Shamalahu. The proper thing to do is to hear them according to the order of the brachos. Taraft after Malchus, Taraft after the Kronos, Taraft after Shofer. Gemara tells, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel come l'tzalui. At one time, Rav Papa Bar Shmuel got up to daven on Rosh Hashanah, b'pashtos b'yichidus, homolei l'shamei, and he says to his attendant, ki nechunaloch, when I signal to you, or there's a gear, so it's ki nechunaloch, which means when I cough to you, it's no Shemana Esrei, you can't talk. But when I signal to you, t'kali, then blow me the appropriate sounds after each of the three brachas. Homolei Rabba, but Rabba tells him, no. Lo amru el b'chever ir. This din that you do the tekiyas together with the brachas is only when you're in a chever ear, which means in a minyan, basically, but not b'yichidus. Yeah. Aval shaloi b'chever ear, but if you're not in a chever ear, if you're davening b'yichidus, shayman al seder, then you hear them in the proper order. You still have to hear tarat three times in the proper order, but for shaloi al seder brachas, but not in the order. I skipped a couple of lines. Tani nami hachi, kshu shayman, when you hear the sounds, shayman al seder brachas, you have to hear them in the proper order and according to the order of the brachas. But medvamum b'chever ear, when is that talking about in a chever ear, in a minyan? Alba shaloi b'chever ear, shayman al seder, you have to hear them in the same order. But v'shaloi al seder brachas, but not in the order of the brachas. You just blow them all after Shemana Esrei then.
You say all the brachas?
You say all the brachas of Shemana Esrei, and then all the shofar sounds, yeah. And another din, the yachid shalai taka, if a yachid did not blow shofar, chaver tekeiloi, then his friend can blow for him. You can be yotze with somebody else's blowing, as long as, like we said the other day, the other person has you in mind.
If you blow before the tefillah,
yeah.
Listening to the shofar afterwards is
you can hear as much as you want. Whether you can blow extra is a different thing, but you can hear as much shofar as you want.
You didn't hear the
tukim
initially in the morning.
Oh, so that's the thing. I mean, Mephoshim argue which tukiyas are we essentially being yotzer with. Most Mephoshim say that essentially we're being yotzer with the tukiyas that we do before Musaf anyway. When we make the bracha, the shmaya kol shofar, that's when we're yotzer the mitzvah. However, the fact actually. The thing is, there is a machloekas about that. Which tekiyas are we essentially yotze with? And that is why the minhag is that we don't talk from the beginning of the tekiyas miyoshev until after the tekiyas in the middle of kaddish over there, because we're not sure which ones were actually being essentially yotze with, and which ones are just the extra ones mishum minhag. Because when we learned back in the Gemara before, that when we learned in the first Perek that we blow shofar k'shein yoshvin and then again k'shein oimdin, what's the yoshvin and what's the oimdin? We usually assume the yoshvin is the ones before Musaf and the oimdin is the ones during Chazer HaShas or during Shilosh Shemana Esrei also, but it's not so simple. So because of that uncertainty, we make sure not to talk during that entire thing until the hundred sounds are blown. Anyway. So the yachid shalei taka. So if a yachid did not blow shofar, chaver tekeilo, then his friend can blow for him. But the yachid shalei berach. But if a yachid does not say the brachas of Shemana Esrei, ein chaver mevarach olav. His friend cannot make the brachas for him. You can't be yotz with somebody else's davening unless that somebody else is the chazan, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Because the idea is, Mefarshim say, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, every person has to daven for themselves. Every person has to ask the Eibishter for rachman for themselves. It's one thing to be mozi somebody with mitzvahs, like Tzias Shofar, or like we said the other day, brachas on mitzvahs or whatever, but when you're asking Hashem for rachman, which is what you're doing in Shemana Esrei, every person has to do for themselves. And continues the Brayso, so mitzvah toiken yosem in a mavorchin. It's more of a mitzvah to be among those who blow shofar, or who hear shofar, than among those who say the brach. Ketzad, what does that mean? Shtei ayores, suppose you have two cities, ba'achas token of achas mevorchin, in one of them they blow shofar, but they don't have anybody there who knows how to daven musaf, or ba'achas mevorchin, and in the other one they have somebody who can daven musaf, but they don't have a shofar there, they don't have anyone who knows how to blow. Hochel, l'makam shetoken, v'en hochel, l'makam shemevorchin. You should go to the place where they're blowing shofar, and not to the place where they're davening. What would be the case? I mean, one case would be, for example, that you physically can't reach both of them in the same day. The Meiri brings up a possibility. What if, for example, both of them are in opposite directions? You could put down an Erev Tchumen before Yom Tov for one, but only for one. You can't put down two Erev Tchumen. You're going to have necessarily. Yeah, so necessarily it's going to be one or the other, yeah. Hadaraisa Hadarabana. The Tkiyas Shofar is Daraisa, the Bracha Hadarabana. What's the question? The answer is like Tzricha Afgav the Havadai Behasafet. Even if, suppose you have, you're not sure whether in city A they have a shofar. You know for sure in city B they're going to be davening Musaf. Nevertheless, because you're not sure, because there is that suffix, they might have it. And in city A, after all, you should still go there, after all.
Because it's so important.
Because it's Daraisa. One thing it does say in Shulchan Aruch, we did talk yesterday or the day before about that you're not allowed to be Mechal or Yom Tov in order to bring a shofar, but it does say in Shulchan Aruch you're allowed to ask the Goy to do Melachas de Rabbanan to bring you a shofar. Because since then it's a Shavuos de Shavuos. It's Rabbanan not to tell a Goy to do something on Yom Tov. It's a Rabbanan not to do this particular thing, like, let's say, swimming or climbing up a tree or what have you. So it's a Shavuos de Shavuos, it's okay. Applying that to here then. Shavuos de Shavuos, meaning a Rabbanan on top of a Rabbanan. So what does that mean? For example, suppose you went to City A to hear a shofar, suppose you're able to go to City B to hear Musaf, and you're able to tell a guy, please bring me a shofar from City A to City B, then do that. That way you have both. Because that way, that way you end up with both. That way you end up with the brachas and with the tchiyas.